As we come on a Sunday, worship isn't just singing, although it is a part of it. Worship isn't just giving, although our giving is a part of it. Worship isn't just God's word, which, though it is a part of it, God's word, the teaching is not everything, but it is a part of it. And so worship, all the different ways, even our fellowship that we have with one another, the talking that you will do afterwards or beforehand, that's all a part of our worship. This is the Lord's day, and so we give it all to Him. There shouldn't be a focus on any one of us. There shouldn't be a focus on anything. The focus of the Lord's day ought to be the Lord's. And so we want to do everything to put that focus on Him. And so don't forget that. As you worship and as you minister here at our church, the focus is on the Lord. No matter what day it is, it is an opportunity to worship. Would you take your Bibles and go to John chapter 10? John chapter 10 is a powerful passage. We're not going to go through it all. There's a lot of amazing things in this chapter that we could get. We're going to look at something very simple this morning. We pray to God that He would help me to make it simple for you, that we could really learn some good things about this from this passage about our Lord. The goal for this year is to learn about who the Lord is so that we would not be fearful. What are some of the things in your life that you fear? You may fear about your future. You may fear about your safety. You may fear about your health. You may fear about your security. You may fear about your way to get this or accomplish this. You may fear the upcoming events in your life. But all the things that we go through, why are we studying who I am is, who Jehovah is, who Yahweh is? Who is God? He is the great I am. You know, I love that title of the Lord, I am, because it means so much. First of all, it puts Him in every category. There's not a person here that's outside of I am, because He is. It's a self-existent no matter what. There's not a time frame that He is not there. Why? Because He is. He is. He is always. And so there's not any circumstance that you can get in where I am is not. And therefore, there's nothing in this earth that we need to fear. Now, I know we tend to, but we don't need to. This morning, we're going to be looking at our Lord, Jehovah, as the door. The door. And this is one of the amazing titles that He has given Himself in the Gospel of John. And I think we can learn a lot. Now, there's a couple of different ways that we can look at the door. And in fact, in John chapter 10, He says it a couple times. I'm the door of the sheep, and I am the door, I am the door. And so we're going to look at the first. I don't know if we'll look at the second another time. But I want you to see some amazing things, the door. I want to start off, though, with a little bit of an illustration. How many of you know, you don't need to raise your hands, how many of you know somebody in your life that loves to do simple things in a complicated way? In other words, there's an easy way to do it. And they thrive off the way to do it the most, in your opinion, that's the most difficult way to do it. You know, why couldn't you just do this? And maybe you're a practical person. You just say, you know what, there's the door. Why did you go in this way? Why did you have to crawl up to the third floor and, you know, crawl up, you know, and get a sketchy ladder at that, you know, and crawl through that, you know, try to break through and get in and just to say, you know, the door is open right there. You know, I don't know if you have known people that love to come up with just complicated ways of doing things. You know, like, okay, I want to cook an egg for breakfast this morning, so I'm going to go out and get a hen that's just about, you know, she's ready to lay an egg. I'm going to put her in the right circumstances so that she'll lay an egg. There's going to be a ramp down. That egg is going to roll down. You got to pat it on the side so it doesn't break. It's going to drop into a glass of water just at the right speed so that it cleans off the egg at one time. And then the splashes of water are going to go out and they're going to trigger. And I don't have enough words to keep going. But you know, eventually you end up with a cooked egg, right? Probably not. And I'm a practical person that says, walk into the kitchen, grab an egg out of the carton, cook the thing, right? That's what I do. But you know, maybe there's people in here that like to do things the hard way. Keep that illustration in mind. We'll come back to it a little bit later. John chapter 10, we are introduced to a way. Now in John chapter 14, Jesus very simply says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You remember that passage? Jesus says, I am the way. In a sense, he is reiterating what he is saying in John chapter 10 when he says, here I am the door. Let's go ahead and read these verses, John chapter 10, and we're going to go through verses 1 to 10. Verse 10 is not the end of the narrative, but it is where we are going to end today, okay? And we're not going all over these 10 verses. We are simply going to get one truth from this passage. John chapter 10, and let's start in verse 1. Starting in verse 1, John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I guess that's the third time. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Father, would you please help us as we go through some simple truths here, a simple truth this morning. God, would you help us to see the truth of Jesus Christ being the door. God, I pray that I would be able to make it very simple. God, I pray that these people would, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and just very simply apply it to their lives, and they could take it home and use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. First of all, we need to understand what the sheepfold is. Now, we could really dive into this whole passage and to define. We've got the sheep, we've got the shepherd, we've got the sheepfold, we've got the porter, we've got the door, the gate, we've got thieves and robbers, we've got a lot of moving parts to this passage, and it is a tremendous passage to really dig into. It really is a neat passage, and I honestly could probably spend multiple Sunday mornings going through this. There's so much. And I'll tell you, in the past couple weeks when I have been studying this passage, I was starting to go all over and get so many things, and the message would have been probably 5 or 6 hours long. Well, you can take a breath of fresh air and relieve yourself. I am not going 5 or 6 hours, and we're going to focus on a very simple part of this text, but there's a lot of parts to it. There's a lot of blessing. We could get into what the sheep, you know, who the sheep are and what this is and what's that. This morning, I have abandoned that idea. We're not getting into all of the parts. We're not getting into what does this mean and what does that mean. I simply want you to I'm going to kind of break it down and get to one part. Now, I do want you to understand what the sheepfold is. Now, I think we can take the sheepfold in many different ways. Some have went to great extreme to make to show the sheepfold as the Jewish people, and we understand that there was Jesus referred to the Jewish people as sheep, and there's definitely an application in which we could say that Jesus was looking after the sheep of Israel, and there's certainly that there's room for that. Some others have taken it to say, well, this is absolutely not talking about Israel, this is talking about the church. And you know what? I definitely agree that this is a passage where the sheep or the church is referred to as sheep. And we as a church, we need the sheepfold, we need the shepherd, we need the protector. And then some have gone to simplify it even further and say, listen, this is none other than the individual's life in his life as he goes in and out, and the sheepfold Honestly, the word sheepfold, when I was reading about it, it's more than just a place. Now, when we think of sheepfold, we think of what? We think of a pen, right? Or a cattle, we would call it a corral. Growing up on a cattle ranch, I called it a corral, okay? Whatever the enclosure is, we are thinking of the sheepfold. Does that make sense to you? Can you understand that? But when we really look at the word and the way that the people used it back then with the shepherd and the sheep, it was a way in which the shepherd related himself to the sheep and the sheep related themselves to the shepherd. It was very much having to do with individual relationship among the shepherd and sheep. This morning, that is the pathway I'm going to take. Not that it can't be applied to the Jewish people, not that it cannot be applied to the church, but to the point of your individual life as you relate to the shepherd. Okay? We are going to be introduced in the next section, I am the good shepherd. Okay? We're going to talk about that later. But for this morning, we're going to look at this principle, this idea, this model, this illustration of the relationship of this shepherd to the sheep. We're not going to get into the shepherd part of it, but specifically here, when he refers to himself as the door. The door. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. When we think about a door is something that could keep you out, right? Or a door is something that could let you in. Are both legitimate. A door is an obstacle. A door is a pathway. Are you thankful for obstacles sometimes? Are you thankful for doors? When the mean dog is chasing me, I'm very grateful for the door. However, when I'm looking for a way into another place, the door, the open door, the unlocked door is a pathway, and we're thankful. Have you ever anticipated the door being locked and you did it slowly and you just hoped and prayed and it was open? Huh. That's good news. I didn't bring the key, right? I don't have a way in, and the door was open. Open doors can be good. Open doors can be bad. Closed doors can be good and closed doors can be bad. Here Jesus said, I'm the door. And so I want us to go through and see what he's referring to. The sheepfold was a way in which, one of the ways in which we see the relationship of an individual sheep. Is that a little bit degrading to you? Sheep. Sheep or not, recognizes the smartest animals around. Sheep aren't recognized as the cleanest animals around. Sheep aren't recognized, and there's a lot, sheep are just sheep. In fact, a lot of times sheep are not looked to as something treasured and valued unless you value wool or unless you value certain things. But here we're referred to as sheep. And the Lord, the shepherd. And yet, as we look at this, we see an amazing opportunity that a sheep has a pathway to someone like a shepherd. Introduced by way of the way, the door. Now, this passage addresses thieves and robbers. In one sense, somebody that's wanting to come in and steal and to kill, and to take, and to, but in other cases, to get in and just cause havoc. In another way, to just be a something different, something that is getting your attention off of the right way. Thieves. You know, it's very true that there are a lot of things in life that present themselves as thieves in our life, that take us away from the way. Thieves. I don't know if we'll get to it this morning or if we will get to it next week, but we might talk more about the thieves. But we will introduce it today, the thieves in our lives that get in through the other way, just to be difficult. So we've got the sheepfold, which is for this morning, the relationship between sheep and shepherd, or our individual lives with the shepherd, also a place of refuge. Now, I want you to think of the fold in this way. We've got a pen. And certainly that pen in the times when this was written could be a man-made thing made out of wood. A lot of times it was made out of the natural surroundings, maybe a group of rocks that were situated in a certain way that nothing could easily get in, and maybe where there wasn't a way there, the shepherd would stand there and act as an obstacle from the wild animals or the things, the thieves that would get in to destroy. This is a very natural setting. A lot of times the sheepfold was something more than just one shepherd with his flock would use the sheepfold. Many times there were many different groups of shepherds and sheep that would use the fold. And in fact, they would come in at night and there would be different ones. And we read about how the shepherd would come in. And what does it say about the shepherd and his voice? The sheep would know that voice, right? And in turn, they would follow the shepherd. Why is that important? Well, because there were multiple shepherds, multiple flocks that would go into the protecting sheepfold. And when it was time for the sheep to go in or the sheep to come out, the shepherd would definitely, because of his nurture and love that he had earned with the sheep, would be able to simply speak, and those sheep would follow and follow him in and out. I could really go crazy at giving you a lot of the stuff that I have read over the past couple of weeks about the shepherd, the sheep, and the sheepfold, and the porter, and all of that. Very intriguing as it relates to our lives. But I will get off track if I go too far. Simply put, though, when you have a door or when you have a pen, a pen and a door represents two things physically. It represents inner and outer, right? Now, were there times when it was important to be out of the sheepfold? Yes. Why? Because the sheep needs the food, right? It needs to go out. In this context, the fold wasn't a place where they were fed. It was a place of protection. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of rest. It was a place to go at night until it was the day. When the day would come, they would be going out, and they would be looking to find, if you use terminology from Psalm 23, they would be going out to find green pastures, right? A place where they could feed, a place where they could live. They could be out in the world. They would also look to find cool waters, right? A place where they can drink, a place where they can refresh themselves, a place where they can rest. And Psalm 23 very clearly shows that element of being out of the sheepfold. So there's an outer part. Is the outer part important for the sheep? Absolutely. It's an integral part of the sheep's life that it gets out to pasture. In fact, that's what shepherds do, in part, is to get them to that place where they can feed. That's what a shepherd does. Out in Wyoming, we would have shepherds and sheep. They were placed all over the place, and a lot of times these shepherds and the sheep, they would be out in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness, out in the barren places, and there would be thousands and thousands of sheep out there, and there would be a couple shepherds in a covered wagon. They still use the covered wagons out there too as sheep herders. They still use those. They use the big white sheepdogs, and the shepherd would be there. I grew up on the ranch there, cattle ranch, but the shepherds would be out in the grazing land outside of our ranch on the public land. They would be out there. and they would be grazing their sheep, and the sheep would, they would take them there, and we would come home from town, or we would be going to town, and we would see the, and the countryside would be filled with sheep, and they would be there, and we would go, and within a short amount of time, within a day or two, they would be gone, and you would never have no clue where they were at. Why? Well, they ate up everything. I mean, when you get thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep, that's what they're doing. They're eating. And so they would go and they would wipe out the vegetation in that area and they would move on. And that shepherd would take them from place to place. Important that they're outside of the sheepfold? Absolutely. But there's another side of things. On the inside of that pen, there is what we call the inner part of that. There's the inner side of this pen. Is that part important? Is it important that we have a pen? Of course it is. It's important because over there, and I don't know if it is true, of course we've got cattle rustlers out west, but I'm sure that the sheep, they've the ones that go and steal the sheep, they've got another name for them. But in the culture, in Israel, those people had to watch over their flocks. They had to watch because at any time somebody would come in to try to take them. They would be protecting them for the wild animals and they would stay very close. I found it super interesting. One of the first things that really hit me when Melissa and I went over to Israel in 2023, when we went there, driving through the lower part of the Negev down there, when we went, we didn't get down to Beersheba in the southern part, but when we were going on the lower part, down below most things, and making our way from Tel Aviv over to the Dead Sea, I remember that very first day, it seemed like everywhere we looked, we saw little, tiny, and when I say flocks, different from what I saw in Wyoming. I'm talking about little flocks. And Heidi would remember this, and Melissa would remember that. But don't you remember, sometimes, am I stretching it to say sometimes there were less than, it seemed like maybe even 10? I mean, maybe 10. I don't, maybe that was the limit. But I couldn't believe it. There would be, you'd be out in the middle of nowhere, and there would just be this tiny little flock of whether it would be sheep or goats or something. And you always found what? There was always a shepherd boy out there with them. There always was. And he lived his life. Why are they still there? I mean, in 2026, they still have this? Yes, why? And this is what Shimon told us. He said, listen, those boys, and some of them were very little boys, they stayed with those sheep because if they didn't, the next guy over would steal them. He would get them, and they would get them into their fold, and they would do it. They had to stay. Those shepherds are a protection. The sheepfold is used as a protection, a place of refuge, a place to go in. Did they need the food and water during the day? Did they need to roam around? Yes, they did. But they needed a place at night to go in so that that one shepherd or the different shepherds would be able to watch their sheep and put them in a place so that they could rest, so that they could sleep, so then the next morning they could take them out. This morning what I want to look is the inside and the outside of our lives. I told you that we're liking the sheepfold as in our relationship with the Lord in our lives. 2 points of our lives. We could divide up our lives in many different ways, but for this morning, because of the illustration used, we're going to look at 2 ways. The sheepfold. There's an inner life, and there's an outer life. The inner life is how you relate with the Father inside. The outer life is how you relate with the Father outside, in the world, the visible. We're right now, well, you're kind of both because we can't ever get rid of our inner life, right? Right now, there could be 70 inner, there are 70 inner lives going on right now. And what do I mean when I say that? That means you have your own thoughts, right? You've got your own emotions. You've got your own feelings. You've got your own fears. You've got your own values and treasures. You've got your own decisions. you cannot get out of your inner life. You can get out of your outer life sometimes when you escape and you spend time by yourself. The outer life is presented when you're out. I would say right now, this would be what I'm seeing from my perspective is time when you're out. You're in public. You're dealing with others. There are other sheep. There are other situations. There's the field. There's the water. There's the rocks. There are the animals. There are other shepherds. You're with. And that's the way we're going to look at it this morning. But we look at Jesus, and he says that in a sense, you know, we look at the inner, we look at the outer, and he says he is that. He doesn't say, I am the foal or the sheepfold, but he says, I'm the door. In other words, when Jesus says he's the door, he is the, if I could say, he's the access point in and out. Listen, please don't lose this. He's the access point, and this is going to be a little bit different than what you think. He's the access point in your inner life and your outer life. You know what he's saying? I'm really jumping ahead here, but letting you have a sneak peek into the end of this. You know what he's saying? He's saying every part of your life revolves around me. I'm the key, if I could say, I'm the access to your inner life. In other words, for those of you who struggle with your inner life, you're a gem to everybody in your outer life. But you know in your inner life, your thoughts, your values, your treasures, your desires, your whatever you go through, you know that you struggle that way. And what we are going to learn today is Jesus is the key to your life, inner life. If you're out here today and you say, I struggle, Pastor, everybody thinks I'm good, but I know the truth about me. I struggle with things and I'm really a mess. If truth be told, if I could just open up to, if the world could see me, they would struggle. I want to tell you that there's good news because this morning we read about Jesus being the door. What he's saying is, he says, listen, I'm the access point to the inner life. I can fix that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. There's some of you that you say, you know what? Maybe things are okay on the inside, but boy, I don't know how to handle the things on the outside in making decisions and how do I respond and how I deal with life as it's thrown at me. I don't know how to do that. And here Jesus says, I'm the door. In other words, I am the access point to your outer life. I'm the answer to that. That's giving you a little sneak peek on where this is going, okay? All right, let's look at some things here. So Jesus Christ, he is saying that he is the pathway, the access, the key, the means of a good relationship with God in our inner lives and our outer lives. It's through Jesus Christ I have peace with God. It's through Jesus Christ I am justified. It's through Jesus Christ that I'm forgiven of my failures and sins. It's through Jesus I'm accepted into God's family. It's through Jesus I'm set free from slavery to sin and self. It's through Jesus Christ I'm resurrected. It's through Jesus Christ I have immediate access to God in prayer. Let's look at just a moment through our inner lives. Jesus is. This year we're focusing on that word, that little italic word in our scriptures, I-S. He is. He is the key to every part of our life. In and out. Let's look at the in for just a moment. The inner life, we're talking about our hearts. This is who you are on the inside. This is who you are without anybody seeing who you are. We know we have a physical. People see us. People identify us because of what we look like, right? I know Skip and I are very close. I mean, some people think we're twins. No. You know that we're not twins, right? You know that he looks nothing like me, okay? I think it's funny. We were just talking about this week. Brother Joe Mueller was up at Servant's Heart Camp. And can you picture Joe? Does he look like me? One is short. And one is tall, okay? One has a very deep voice. The other has, I guess, a moderate voice. Joe looks nothing like me, okay? But both of us have two daughters. Okay, we both have two daughters, but I've got a daughter, he's got a daughter. And we both have daughters that look a lot like us. Joe has a daughter that looks a lot like him. And I have a daughter that looks a lot like me. And that's not Shalissa, okay? In case you didn't figure that one out yet, okay? I don't know that we've ever heard anything different. Everybody always knows that Shalissa's the one, Symphony's the one that favors me that way, okay? And for Joe, his daughter, Karis, looks a lot like him. And a lot of people think that Karis looks like Symphony. And I'll be honest with you, there were times, I didn't even tell Symphony this, there were times yesterday when I was up there that this dark-haired girl was, you know, scampering along there, and I had to stop and think, is that Symphony or is that Karis? Now, I know that some of you can say they don't look that much alike, but they have some resemblance. And I didn't say this, this is what Joe says, and Joe says this, and people know that we have two daughters that look alike, and because that Pastor Madrid and I look alike, it makes sense, right? Well, somewhere that doesn't make sense because Brother Joe Mueller looks nothing like me, even though we have two daughters that might resemble each other a little bit. Okay? Why am I telling you that? I can't remember. Okay? All right. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we say stuff and we don't know why we're saying it. We're going into this and we look and say, okay, we have our inner lives. We have our, okay, we're talking about our hearts, right? We're talking about who we are. There's the difference between what we look like on the outside and what we are inside. When the Bible refers to our insides, God refers to it as our hearts. Our heart. Our heart is not the beating object inside that pumps our blood in the scriptures. It's our, let's start with the list. It's our thoughts, right? Our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our heart, you know, the real Sean Madrid is what I think about. Wow. My thoughts. Let's move on. Who I am is not just what I think about, it's how I feel. Some might refer to their heart being happy, or their heart being sad, or their heart being angry, or their heart being frustrated, or whatever the case is. It's our emotions. It's who we are. It's who we are. Our inner self, our hearts, it's our thoughts, it's our emotions, our feelings. But our heart is more than that. It's our wills. It's our decision-making process and the things that we choose and what we decide. That comes from my heart, which also relates what I value and treasure. There are certain things that I value. My heart desire. We refer to that, my heart's desire, because that's referring to my inner self. That's my heart. This is the inner life. Our thoughts, our motives, our desires, our will, our decisions, our emotions, our values, our treasures. And in order to succeed with God in our inner lives, these aspects must be channeled through the life and person of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're here this morning and you struggle with your thoughts, if you're here this morning, you struggle with your emotions, if you're here this morning, you struggle with your values, the things that you desire, if you struggle with your decisions that you make and the things that you go after, and all these things that we talked about make the heart, who is the answer to the inner life? Who is the access point to the right, safe inner life? What's the answer? Jesus Christ. Now let me give you some examples. We're going to have to go through this quickly because of time. I have a lot more than what we could go through this morning. But let's talk about our thoughts just for a moment. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Does anybody know that verse? Listen to this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. If we want to have our thought life right, its access is who? It's Christ. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you know what that verse is saying? And by the way, those things, truth, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Folks, do you know what the key to your thought life is? Men, guys that are out there that you say, Pastor, I struggle with my thoughts. And every guy does have to be careful. And we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. My friend, I want to tell you, if you are seeking the right thoughts in your life, there's one access point, and that's Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be right in my thoughts, I'm going to have to start my day off thinking about none other than the person of Jesus Christ and those things that are pure or true and all those things that we just mentioned. I've got to bring my mind. I pray in the mornings, say, Lord, would you help me to live your life? I want you to be my thoughts. What happens when we let our thoughts go outside of those things that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us? I want to tell you something. It's a dangerous world out there with your thoughts beyond Philippians 4:8. It's a dangerous world out there beyond Jesus Christ when you let your thoughts get outside of Him. Because you know what it automatically goes to? There's a default in every one of our thoughts. When we get our mind off of Jesus Christ and He is not default in our lives, what we do is we go back to ourselves. And we become very selfish in many different ways. Selfish people lusting after all kinds of things that we want. Could be materialism, could be relationship things, could be lust. Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that I could say. A lot of things, and it's all revolved around ourselves. It's ourselves. No, let this mind be on you, which was also in Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 2 says. If we want to have our minds in the right place, we are going to have to put them to the person of Jesus Christ. What about our motives? What did Paul say in Philippians 1:21? For to me to live is who? Christ, and to die is gain. For to me to live is Christ. What's the key to my motives? What's the key to my drive and desire in life? I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, it better be on the person of Jesus Christ, because it's outside of Jesus Christ. What are we prone to do with our desires, with our motivations? We're prone to go back to who? Myself. Then I'm going to live my life for myself. We're talking about the inner life. We're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about our motives. The way we do things, our desires, our emotions. John 14:6. When we talk about our emotion, by the way, we are talking, and we are made emotional creatures. Does God want us to live our lives following the pattern of our emotions? No. In John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth. You see, the truth has to come before those emotions. And a lot of times the emotions will come after truth. But truth is the most important thing. I follow not my emotions. I will not do what the world says and follow my heart. No, I ought to follow the truth. And who is the truth? None other than Jesus Christ. You see, when I go to my own emotions, I've got to focus on what the truth is. And in John chapter 8 and verse 32, He tells us that that truth will set and make us free, and ye shall know the truth. That's the person of Jesus Christ. And the truth shall make you free. We could talk about our values and our treasures and go to some passages of scriptures of even Paul who just loved the way of Christ and valued the things and valued to be put into the ministry, he says. And I'm looking at a lot of verses here that I could give you. We've got Acts just for sake of time, Acts 20:24, if you're making notes, look at that verse. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Matthew says in chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In other words, if we want to have an inner life with our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings and all of this stuff, they've got to be none other channeled by way of the door of Jesus Christ. He says, "I am the door to your inner life." You want to go into the sheepfold? Listen, you want a secure relationship, fellowship with the Father? It's going to come through the person of Jesus Christ. I ask you the question, is Jesus all the world to you? Your life, your joy, your all? Like the song says, you cannot have the right inner life without the person of Jesus Christ. He's got to be preeminent and dominant in your life. You've got to take on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're here this morning and you struggle in your life, you say, "You know what, I'm a gem on the out. Everybody thinks that I'm great, but I struggle with my thoughts. I struggle with my emotions. I struggle with my values and treasures. I struggle with the way I make decisions. I struggle with these things." Listen, then none other than saturate yourself with the person of Jesus Christ. Think his thoughts. Do his actions. I love the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself to us for 33 years so that we would have a model of who God the Father is. He said, "I come to declare the Father to you." Then guess what? You're safe by patterning your life after Jesus Christ. Pattern your life after Jesus Christ. Because of time, we need to move on to get out from the inner life to the outer life. What about the outer life? I love our church theme verse. Not this verse for the year, but our church theme verse, which is on our wall out there. Do you remember what it is? Philippians 1:27. Let me read it and just listen. We're talking about our outer life. This is not just what people don't know what's going on here, but what you see here, when I'm out, when I'm talking, when I'm making decisions, when I'm doing, when I'm buying, when I'm out, only let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of who? Do you see what he's saying there? Who should rule and regulate or be the pathway of our outer life? Jesus Christ. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. In other words, I live my life according to Jesus Christ. And because our time is going, I'm going to cut some corners here. You know, that means our lifestyle, which includes what? Our words, doesn't it? You know, everything that I say from my mouth ought to match up with the person of Jesus Christ and his gospel. There ought never be a time when the two, you know, if we say something and we take our words and we take Jesus and you say, those don't match, then guess what? The words were wrong. And that ought to be a part of my life. Those words ought to be out. The things that we see and we look at when we're out and about in the world, you know, those things are very important. But those things ought to become the gospel of Christ. In other words, here's Christ and here's what I'm looking at. If there's something that is not consistent, then those things need to go because they're not Christ. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the key to the inner life and I'm the key to the outer life." And you better be careful because anything else is counterfeit. Now, we're going to see that in the very end if I just can squeak out a few more minutes from you. We've got our conversation, our lifestyle. We've got our words, our wisdom. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37 addresses our words. We've got our sight. We've got our actions. We've got our involvement with people. These things, you know, our outer life when we're out about needs to be dominated by the person of Jesus Christ. So you're here this morning, you say, "Pastor, you know what? I don't know what your inner life is like," but you say, "When I go out, I end up saying, you know, when I'm confronted in difficult situations, I say the wrong things. I have a hard time looking at the right things. I have a hard time, you know, listening to the right things. I have a hard time making godly decisions with my money and with my possessions. I have a hard time with life." We're not talking about the inner life, we're talking about the outer life. The answer to this is the person of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? The Son of God. That's Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. I close with the thieves. You say, who are the thieves in this? I'll tell you, it's anyone other than the door that tries to get in another way. And can I tell you, it has a lot to do with your way. We can blame a lot of people on the thieves and the robbers are trying to get me. But folks, I want to tell you, it comes back to being seated right here with me. It's because I don't like his way or his door. I would rather do it my way. Do you remember the illustration that I started off with? Do you know that in life, Jesus Christ has made a huge door that he is, and he says, listen, I am the way. I am the door. You do it my way. Inner life, you think like me. Inner life, you feel like me. Truth. Inner life, you value like me. Inner life, you decide like me. Inner life, like me. Outer life, what you look at, what you say, the actions you do, how you spend, how you live. He said, like me. He said, listen, I am the door, and it's he has made himself free and open and available to any one of us. But you know, many of us are kind of like that squirrely kid that I explained in the beginning, that's like, let's do this. Let's set up this. Let's get the hen. Let's do this. And we've got this big contraption, and this is our way. And the practical person, and I'm not saying anything about you unpractical people, and I'm not saying anything about me that tends to be more practical. That has nothing to do with it. It's almost like, if God could say, and he doesn't, because God is loving and gracious. He doesn't look at us and say, that's stupid. What God does, though, is open his arms up and says, Sean, you're making this a little bit more complicated than what it needs to be. I'm the door, and I'm a simple door. All you need to do is channel your thoughts through me. All you need to do is think truth, think me. All you need to do is value what I value. All you need, I am the door, but many of us, we look at the door and say, I don't like that way. I'm going to go out and get a hen, and I'm going to build a ramp, and I'm going to get some water, and I'm going to do all this, and we're going to see if this works. And you know what? It might work with your egg, Sam. I don't know. Sam's looking at me like, this sounds fun. Sam's egg might drop into the pan and cook itself. It might. But can I say this, everyone listening, as we close? Trying life on our terms and our way is really dangerous. And Jesus simply says to all of us here today, hey, all you people that are out here, that like to try life your way. He says, listen, I'm the door. I am the way. And you've got deliverance and salvation if you come through me. Because I can make it very simple. I'm the door. What this passage is dealing with here for us as Christians, because I believe he's going to talk about salvation. He's talking about the door, and we can have eternal life. He's going to talk about life. But for us here this morning, I say simply, folks, listen, why do we make life so complicated thinking that my way is going to be better than his? Isn't it true that we think that our plans are better than God's plans? Our ways are better than God's ways? And God tells us this morning from John chapter 10, I am the door. Stop trying to crawl over. Stop trying to rig a contraption. Stop trying letting distractions come in your life when there's a door right here. I wonder how many Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart this morning saying, listen, you, my friend, have been trying your own way. And I've been here
all along. Would you this morning be willing to take your way and turn it into His way? I am the door. Father, would you help us? Why do we try our own way rather than give it to you? God, may we give you our thoughts, our will, our treasure, our values, our emotions. Give them to you. Our sights, our sounds, our decisions, our words. Lord, would you help us to give those things to you and channel and funnel everything through Jesus Christ. God, help us in our inner and outer lives. God, thank you this morning that you tell us that you're the door. God, help us now to come through you for that safety, for that food, either way. In Jesus' name.